Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by Scotty Scheffler on this Master Sunday. I'm Justin Wells, along with Eric Nalin. Listen, a lot of stuff going on the 40 acres this weekend, including the biggest scrimmage. We had stuff talking about offense. We got defense. Eric posted a report over at InsideTexas.com. Please like and subscribe to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel. And please give us a chance. If you sign up right now, IT1. Get you 2 months of Inside Texas for only a dollar. That's IT1. And that will definitely include next Saturday's spring game, which is coming on. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves. We got a scrimmage report to talk about today. Eric, we're going to jump right into it. It sounds like the defense kind of had the upper hand in the first half of Saturday's scrimmage. What's the latest that you got?
Yeah, the defense started off well, but there's a caveat there because it was ones versus twos for much of that portion. It was about 70 plays, a lot of it free-flowing scrimmage and some of it situational red zone two-minute stuff. But, yeah, the defense really started off well. Really good coverage in the secondary and a lot of pressure on the quarterback, whether it was ones or twos. We heard that Baron Sorrell had a couple sacks. Colin Simmons got himself another one. Jare Bledsoe. Zena Umuzulu got into the mix. So, you know, if Jare Bledsoe and Zena are getting in there, then that means that the first team offense is probably giving up a little bit of pressure. And that's certainly one of the takeaways from the scrimmage was the offensive coaches weren't too happy with the amount of pass with the pass protection overall. However, when they got into the red zone a little bit later, the offense really turned it on, and that was ones versus ones. But back to defense, I should mention Malik Muhammad was the player of the scrimmage overall. He had an interception, a couple pass breakups, and generally just was really, really good in coverage. So he's looking really good after missing a couple practices with a very, very, very minor hamstring issue. Probably an issue that wouldn't even kept him out of a game or in-season practices. There was just no reason to push him, but he's playing great.
You talk about this all the time. A lot of this is a zero-sum outcome. You know, one does well, the other doesn't, and vice versa. You had a tweet yesterday that went pretty hard on Twitter talking about Malik Muhammad was the best player on the field on Saturday. You talked about he had a pick. He had some great coverage. What is it about Malik Muhammad that's making him stand out over the rest of those guys on that defense?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We had just recently, one of the sources said Terrence Brooks had probably been the best corner to this point. And then, of course, the very next day, Malik Muhammad's the best player on the team, at least for 2 hours. His football IQ is through the roof. His awareness, the pick came on an overthrow. I believe Arch overthrew it. Anytime there's an overthrow, you got to have good awareness, have your eyes on the ball, be ready for it. His football IQ is through the roof. And, you know, he's a good athlete. But what really separates him is the way he prepares and just the way that he sees the game. He's like a coach on the field, but wrapped up in an elite corner.
Yeah, and it was fun covering Manny and recruiting. You know, he's only been on campus for a year. He enrolled early last year. He's been there for 12 months. And the impact I think he made last year was tremendous as a true freshman. But like you said, once they got to one-on-ones, the offense kind of kicked it into gear. It sounds like Quinn Ewers finally kind of took the reins and took over. We know Jonte Cook had a big play as well. What was the offensive output, you know, once they kind of took over in that second half of the scrimmage?
Yeah, well, that was where it was ones versus ones, and so it matters more. And zero-sum is just, you know, it's still a concern. But, you know, when you have ones versus twos, it's really hard to tell what's going on, you know, because the twos aren't nearly as good. And so – what's the real read from that? Ones versus ones, we got a good even further idea that the run fits aren't great. Tackling was a big issue on the day. You know, whether tackling is rust, maybe some indecision on the player's part. I don't know what it is. They got to figure it out, though, because tackling has been mentioned a couple times as being an issue for the defense. Run fits has been a concern the last two or three weeks. And so these are things they all have to tighten up. Does that make the offense look better? Well, in certain cases it does. But we also know that the offense is very good. We know the offensive line is a good run blocking unit. We know they got a couple hammers back there in the backfield in Cedric Baxter. Cedric Baxter was mentioned first before Jaden Blue. But previous to that, we've been hearing a lot about Jaden Blue, even more so than Baxter. So Quinn's got all these weapons. You know, it's got a run game. There's a balance between the run game and the passing game. And he's in total control. Now, his issue now, and he was very good, but he still had some issues with the deep ball. But he was probably the second best player on the field yesterday, at least per one source.
You definitely you mentioned Jaden Blue and Cedric Baxter, but you mentioned Baxter first, and I found that noteworthy because Jaden Blue, I felt like, has been getting a lot of the press the last couple weeks, especially after last weekend when the recruits were talking. You know, every name they mentioned was either Jaden Blue or Ryan Wingo. It sounded like Baxter, you know, it's a good little battle. Is this going to be a running back by committee type deal for them in 2024?
It's shaping up to be that way. Yesterday in the red zone, I think in the red zone they start from the 25. It's not actually the red zone, a little bit outside of it. And there's a scoring system. So the defense can actually score points if they hold them to a field goal, turnover on downs, turnover, that's points. And so the offense scored 3 touchdowns. So they housed them 21-0. And Baxter was a big part of that. On one drive, I heard that they just nickeled and dimed him with the run game. And to me, that sounds like Baxter using his body lean, running behind his pads and maybe moving the pile a little bit. So I think it is, there's a duality, you know, there's always these nicknames for these running back duos whenever they have disparate styles, you know, thunder and lightning, that sort of thing. I think they do need Cedric Baxter to provide some of that thunder between the tackles, but Jaden Blue's running with better power than ever before. He's bigger, stronger. He's one of the fastest running backs in the country. In fact, one of the fastest players in the country. So, both going to play. I don't know how you – I like to see them both out there in 2-back sets, to be honest. You know, they've got enough depth behind them to pull that off.
They were running some 21 personnel, I know, last week. I'm not sure how much they did this week, but that looked like a nice little wrinkle in the offense. And if Baxter and Blue are going to be thunder and lightning, can Trey Wisner be the hellstorm?
He can provide that other element, you know. Similar to Keelan Robinson, where you know, more often than not, you just want to get him the ball in space. But, you know, Trey's a game runner between the tackles, too. He's a hard-nosed player. You know, it's not all about size. It's, you know, how hard do you hit the hole, you know, your downhill velocity, and just running angry. And, you know, Trey plays angry. I mean that in a good way. I think he will carve out a role this year. And it just depends on how good the run game is. You know, the better the run game is, the more carries they're gonna have and more they're going to spread those out. And there's one more player I want to mention that didn't get mentioned in our practice report.
Bring it to me.
Parker Livingstone had a 60-yard touchdown on a slant. And so, you know, the context of how these always come down is important because, you know, yeah, it's third team, but this isn't your typical third team. He's going up against guys that are going to be future first teamers, that are going to be studs, guys that are going to play in the NFL. Just look at the guys they signed in the last class in the secondary, and you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about. So, you know, the important context there is, how was the touchdown scored? If it's a 60-yard bomb, okay, that's one thing. We know he's got good ball skills and all that. But if he's scoring on a slant, he's doing a lot of work on the ground. So, you know, that speed that he's demonstrated in high school is checking out in college as well. So, yeah, 13 touchdown doesn't mean all that much, but it does show us something about him and his athletic traits transitioning to college.
I love hearing Livingstone get mentioned. I know he had a couple other earlier practices where he did well. It's just so good to see an early enrollee guy starting to kind of make
it. Yeah, we've heard a lot about Aaron Butler, and of course Ryan Wingo. You hear about him all the time. So it's good to hear about those other young wide receivers too. Just a little check, store it at a safe place. You know, it's not going to be huge for this season. I don't think he's going to play a ton, just given the way the roster depth chart looks. But, you know, let him keep working and let him keep developing. It might be something exciting on the other end.
Hey, we're almost going to wrap this up. There, ton of info in a good little window of time. One more question, Eric. You know, this is the last week of practices, and then we got the spring game, the orange-white game on Saturday. What are you looking forward to in that event? And will you be at Posse East with me afterwards?
Go. Absolutely, yeah. I'm looking forward to a lot of people joining us at Posse East. It's right down the street from campus. You can't miss it. Get there early. You know, I'm just looking for – I'm hoping to see better run fits and good tackling. You know, the issues that were transpired in the practice yesterday, I'd like to see those all addressed. I'm sure the coaches would. On offense, that would mean better pass protection. It would mean more success on the deep shots. On defense, it would mean more consistent in your run fits and better tackling. So those are kind of the themes throughout the spring that we're picking up on. Themes tend to carry over in the offseason. And you need to address them in August, because if you don't address them in August, we know we're going to see them in September, and you don't want to see that.
Absolutely. And as I always say before and after every spring game, the number one thing in a spring game, get home healthy. Number one overall, always. Absolutely. You know who else is number one overall? That's InsideTexas.com. Come see us at InsideTexas.com. We're running a special right now. IT1 gets you 2 months of Inside Texas for only $1. IT1 gets you to the spring game, gets you into May visits, gets you almost into June from when those official visits start, because that's going to be good stuff at InsideTexas.com. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. And thank you for joining us on the Scrimmage Report on the Inside Texas YouTube football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.